Oopaloopa, Dilly Leepy, Dong Long Wampy, Dua Light, Dua Long Wampy.
Is this what he wrote?
Nope, this is Danae.
Oh.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dyster, and I'm joined as always by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
Little bunny foo-foo.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well.
What did Little Bunny Foo Foo do?
It scooped up the field mice, bopped him on the head.
That's
what
right.
A dick.
I was trying to. I couldn't remember the lyrics.
Yeah. Little Bunny Foo Foo's not nice.
No, have you never heard the Bunny Foo Foo?
No,
thing?
I thought we were supposed to like Little Bunny Foo Foo.
Little Bunny Foo Foo is hopping through the forest.
Yeah, cute little bunny.
Scooping up the field mice and bopping along the head, and along came a good fairy, and she said, "Little Bunny Foo Foo, I don't want to see you scooping up the field mice and bopping up on the head, and I'll give you three chances." And then Bunny Foo Foo keeps doing the foo-foo thing, and then something bad happens to foo-foo, and then the moral of the story is hair today, gone tomorrow. Something like that. I'm pretty sure I'm skipping a whole bunch.
It's frightening.
That was the condensed version.
That was the meme version. I actually have a Little Bunny Foo-foo book.
They're herbivores though, right? Is Bunny Foo-foo like eating the field? Like why does Bunny Foo-foo hate field mice?
Rabbits are herbivores though, because I had to go through all this crap about.
Or are they omnivores? Do they eat
fourth grade?
I don't think rabbits eat other animals, do they?
I don't know. Let's think about the kind of poop that they poop. It seems very vegetable.
It does. Yes. It's very grainy. It's got a real veggie taste to it.
I mean, while we're paused on this topic, I found a video. I wanted to show Iris a video of a bunny rabbit eating a real bunny eating a carrot. And so I did a quick Google search and found a video on YouTube. They've got, you know, really powerful mics right beside bunny rabbits as they eat, you know, their food, of course. And so we found this one and she loves it so much. It's a 5-minute video of this bunny just eating a carrot and she thinks it's the best. And we just... almost every night this last week we've watched this video and
it's nice.
Wow, you know, it's
they are technically
nice.
Are they
herbivores?
They're technically herbivores, but it did say hares will scavenge for meat in the wild, I guess, if they are left
desperate
with, yeah
that's then they bought
but then
field
they
mice
get
on
a
the
taste
head.
And
right.
Then they
then
start
it's over.
Eating everybody
and so all of a sudden they're in a cave in Monty Python's
is omnivore like you'll eat
holy grail.
Is omnivore like you'll eat anything?
Yes. Yeah.
Like pigs, right? Pigs are omnivores, I think.
Sure. Because
there was a Criminal Minds episode where they found out the guy was getting rid of bodies by feeding them to his pigs.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, we are going to get into it. Before we do, we want to let you know next week we are doing a special episode for you. So that will pop up in your feed at the regular time. But wanted to kind of give you a heads up on that, and then we will get back to talking about the week's content the week after that. So, yeah.
Might make a comment I made last week make more sense when you listen to...
it's my favorite part of last week's show. It's just like...
That was pretty great.
It was amazing. But yes, we will get into that. The special, by the way, next week is just going to be an entire breakdown of the Bunny Foo Foo... myth, legend, and we just thought that would be worth going into.
We should definitely just break down like children's stories.
Yeah, that'll be the whole show.
I have one that I know I'm going to show you guys. We'll talk about it.
Well, let's get into it, guys. Let's kick it off with this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the stuff we are sending in general. We will kick it off with commercial sins. Taco Bell, the Bel Grande taco. This is an old ad. Jeremy Scott writing this one.
I forgot about this thing, man. I used to eat the hell out of these things. I totally forgot about them.
It's just a giant taco,
it's just a big taco, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
The biggest.
That's awesome.
When did it go away? When did they stop selling the Bel Grande?
I don't know.
I mean,
let's look it up.
I imagine they figured it wasn't worth the cost to them or something.
It's like the McDLT of Taco Bell. I can't even find it. I mean, because they still have the Nachos Bel Grande, or they did for the longest time.
Yeah. They've carried on the Bel Grande tradition. I don't remember ever eating one of these. My thing at Taco Bell was always the soft tacos. The chili cheese burrito, when that came out when I was in high school, was like my thing. Like, I would just go get three chili cheese burritos and, you know, down the 2,000 associated calories. And,
oh, those were good, too. I remember those, too. Those were tasty.
You can still get them. At certain, they're never on the menu, but if you ask for a chili cheese burrito, some places will make you one. But they're not the same. They're not the same as the ones.
Oh no, they can't be. No, they've gotten rid of so much. Like, they've really slimmed down that menu now. If you go, I don't know, like, they don't even have like steak anymore, and the chicken, they don't even do like chicken tacos anymore. I mean, it's kind of sad.
Oh wow, so they got rid of the steak and chicken soft tacos? Because I used to get those sometimes.
Can we not talk about what they're not serving anymore? Because I'm still not okay the Mexican pizza not being an option.
I know, that was your favorite.
I know, and I used to love the tostada as well. And that's gone. So it's just
chicken burrito. I feel like we just need gone.
To, you know, I only want to get so sad at the very beginning of our show.
But what's weird is they still have a chicken quesadilla. So if they have a chicken quesadilla, why don't they have chicken tacos?
Yeah, chicken.
With COVID and everything, a lot of menus, you know, slimmed down, and McDonald's
people
did
are
it too.
So angry about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm tired of people complaining about, like, how dare this restaurant be closed every Monday? I'm like, they're recovering after a pandemic. Let's give them a break.
Give
my
them
God.
Some space.
I was out late last weekend because I played poker for the first time in a while. And when I was coming back, I was a little hungry, and I was like shocked to see like our Taco Bell actually closed at midnight, you know, which good for them. I mean, go home, have fun. But I just was like, why is Taco Bell closed? It's
this
only 12:30.
Supposed to be 24 hours, man. You're supposed to be open all night.
McDonald's was open, though.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I got to try the new Cajun sauce with their nuggets. It was tasty.
I apologize that you had to eat McDonald's. All right.
First world problem.
How do we feel about Bell's? I don't know. I was trying to go really
I don't know.
Strange.
Now I'm trying to realize if I was confusing it with something else, because if it came out in 82, but maybe it was through the 90s or something. I don't know. I swear I remember eating those. But then you brought up that chili cheese burrito. Now I just want that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Let's talk about the video itself. I'll kick us off. Why is the lettuce underneath the cheese is my favorite thing in this video.
Yes.
And just the explanation. It's just, it's a clear logical fallacy. That they would put that in the picture that way, or make it that way. I don't even know if they made it that way, but if they made it that way, that's dumb.
I think they do, though. I think they do. I think they still do that, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. They put the lettuce right on top of the meat.
As someone who just got Taco Bell a couple of days ago, can confirm. Yes. Yeah. And I don't understand it either. The only thing I think that makes sense is that they know that the meat is going to just, it's going to get cold really fast. So it's not like there's a ton of time before lettuce wilting.
Yeah, it's just something I've never thought of until now. Now I can think of nothing else.
When you build your own, you'd go meat and then cheese, so
cheese,
it melts
right on the meat, so it melts. Obviously,
I kind of want to be that. Now I kind of want to be like, when you make my taco, I'm sure they'd love me, and there'd be no spit in that taco. Hopefully, there would only be spit in there.
Yeah.
No, I'm never doing that. By the way, if anybody's listening and works at Taco Bell, I would never do that.
I just went to search, why does Taco Bell put, and the number one autofill was cheese on top of lettuce. According to one person's Quora answer to this question, which of course can't be verified, this is not an official response, is it's a marketing play that tries to increase value. If you put it on the meat, then you wouldn't see it. They put so little on the taco, you probably wouldn't taste it either, and it comes into the unit already grated very thinly, so it looks like you're getting a lot.
I also liked sudden super tall Pippi Longstocking. That made me laugh as well. Danae, what about you?
The one that I really enjoyed was just the, we like it because there's more of it to like, and like, the guy just fucking said that. Like, how upset he was.
How many times? Yeah, the narrator's in a bad mood recently on all the channels. Like, he's having a rough time. Jonathan, what about you?
I just liked, ooh, what a difference. Ooh, what a terrible slogan. And let's get a pasty white guy in a hat and jean jacket to represent our Tex-Mex fast food brand. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
1982, man.
1982.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Let's move into TV Sins. SpongeBob SquarePants Survival of the Idiots was the SpongeBob for this past week.
I did
week.
Not like this episode. Did you like this episode?
This is a Dicer Hughes script. No, I
didn't. And I guess
didn't.
I shadowed on this, but I did not remember this.
This is one of those I'm like,
all.
For someone who's been able to say confidently recently that I've been enjoying SpongeBob, I did not enjoy this episode. It's a strange one where they're two little spongy, starry assholes, and
they're terrible.
And they do something terrible to their buddy. And of course,
I did remember one of you calling out Patrick as being an ass. That was the only thing I remembered. Everything else, and the thumbnail we used is scary. It's a very creepy thumbnail that we used.
The whole, I don't know. It was just a strange one. I mean, it is funny when you look at it through a child's eyes. Snowing underwater, and SpongeBob gets to be in the snow, and then they have like Sandy gets mad at them. I can see kind of the fun points, but I didn't have a good time on this one, and it was strange to Sin as well. It was a strange one.
Danae was like, I think I'm gonna quit.
Quit, guys. This is it. This is the final script.
It was strange to Sin, and it was also strange to watch the response to this one, because there is something that we miss sometimes by not being like OG fans of the show. Like when you're when you grow up with something, you have a whole different experience with it as to when you like go back and watch it. Because I'm looking at the comments section of this one, and I think I even wrote one of these comments down. Somebody said, "Who you calling Pinhead? Best SpongeBob quote to come from this episode." And like all through the comments, people are like, "How did you not take away his sin for the Pinhead line?" And I'm like, "The Pinhead line? What is the? It's like nothing. There's like nothing to that line in the episode. What did I miss? Did we miss something
so
with that
many
line?
People like, said
people love that line, and I'm like, why do people love that line? Does it come up again later in the series or something?
Interesting.
Or, I was really confused by that response. Maybe if you're just watching this episode,
it's because
another line.
I think it's because obviously the way Patrick looks.
Well, sure.
In that weird pinhead thing. And so you should have a sin about this because that's like the moment that we all remember. That's the meme, right? That's the
I guess.
That's the image.
I was really
but
confused.
It's like, I don't know, guys.
We're going to miss stuff. We can't have seen everything.
Or we just don't think that it's a sin. And if, you know.
Yeah. Or
sin
other
removal,
people
especially.
Are
dumb, right,
and they're
yeah.
wrong, and they're stupid.
No, Jonathan, no.
And they
that
need
is
to
not
shut
it.
Up.
We're just different. We're just all different.
I'm kidding.
No, it
was
really
different.
It was really confusing to me because I was like, that line didn't seem like an especially funny joke. It didn't seem like I was having trouble figuring out. But you're right. It must be the associated imagery that comes along with it. And hey, so be it. So be it. But yeah. Do you want to go in the sins on this one then?
Nah.
Jonathan, you get to kick us off.
All right. I like the guy, the line in this episode is Sandy, and then the narrator goes, "That is a sign on a door."
I loved that one too. I had that one written down too.
The narrator exclaiming, "Well, no one think of Bob's holes."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which we've unfortunately had to think of Bob's holes
a lot.
Way too much.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's true.
And then I just enjoyed because it was so frightening. And then to have the sin just be scalpers.
That was scary.
Yeah.
Little Patrick's head.
Talked about this on the. God. I do remember this now. I do remember this now because my note on that was I have a weird fear of being scalped.
That's right.
And then Aaron said, that's not weird. Like, you shouldn't want to be. But it's like, but what are the chances I'm going to get scalped? I mean, just the idea that I even have that, you know. I just remember learning about, like, the Native Americans and stuff, like, you know, Indians that would do that. Learning about that, like, because you learn about that, like, when you're a kid, like, in American history and stuff, you know. And it's, like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And that is an image that has just stuck with me.
Yeah. As someone who is often taller than ceiling fans, it's a legitimate fear. I don't consider it an illegitimate fear at all. Danae, why don't you go next?
I liked writing the word food chonk. Just the word chonk. It's not something that I don't know that I've ever used that before, but I really enjoyed it, and I have used it in another sin video since. I'm like, chonk describes things really well. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And then also the
description of the breakdown of what they had to do to get the fur off of Sandy and like full on stripped her down, duct tape waxed her without asking permission. This show is dark, but the way that that was written and then delivered was really fun.
It is.
I'm disturbing.
It's to me the most disturbing part of this episode. You can't, like, there's some things you just don't think about because it's just a cartoon or whatever. And there's some things you can't think about or it gets really, really disgusting and sick. And just like, you know, there's pranks and then there's, you know, taking all the hair off of your friend without their awareness or knowledge. And that's not okay, in case you needed that instruction.
Aaron would appreciate it because he just gets rid of all of it.
That's right. I don't
except
want
for
hair.
The top.
However, I want to be in control of the hair removal.
No, if you ever meet Aaron, rip the hair off.
You just have
fine.
Freedom. Just yeah. Just,
no.
I also liked after the one you were talking about Bob's holes, which the sin is about the holes filling up with air, you know, eventually killing SpongeBob. And then the next sin is also Starfish 2. Patrick's dead now too.
I just very Danae.
That wasn't me, but it was genuinely hilarious. The entire idea of...
Oh, I forgot Aaron only brings up his sins.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's not true. You took a couple of Danae sins that I had written down.
Yeah, the whole idea of how they would survive in a winter wonderland was the whole thing. Everything about SpongeBob, we just... How much do you just throw to the wind and say whatever, and then how much do you actually spend time trying to cleverly sing?
Right,
so
right. And then another one of mine that I wanted to talk about, because that's all I do, is the back talking sin. I just love it when a pun presents itself like that and makes it easy to do. So that one worked well. All right, let's move on to Star Wars Bad Batch, a brand new show on Disney Plus from the Clone Wars universe. We send the pilot Aftermath. This was also a Dicer Hughes script.
Yeah, this could have been a CinemaSins script.
This is
it was like
one,
an hour and a half.
This is one of the ones that where we get to have our battles.
So what do you think? This is like three episodes, like in the future, like when they, you know what I'm talking about? Like back in the day when they would do that and then they'd rerun it and they would,
see,
you know.
The thing is, Clone Wars also started with a movie. So I wonder if it's just like we start with a movie and then we do our 25 minute episodes, you know, it's just like, yeah, it was definitely one of those where it was frustrating to expect a 25 minute episode and then go, oh, you're 90 minutes? Cool. Way to go. But anyhow, how did you feel about this one today? How did you feel about watching The Bad Batch? Do you have any Clone Wars experience, any of
no,
that?
No, mine continues to be just what I'm forced to sin. You know how like in the Angry Birds one we're going to talk about, you know, like Jeremy was raging against Chris. I feel like maybe at some point in time, it's going to be me raging against Aaron because.
But you would have to make it, you would have to write it so that it's me raging against you or something.
I'll have you rage against yourself. It'll be fantastic.
It will be fantastic.
No. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's always difficult to do anything that has a, you know, massive backlog of, you know, history because I can't know it all. I can't spend a ton of time researching everything because there's so much else that I do and there's so much else going on. So, you know, I'll read the comments sometimes be like, God, did I miss something really important? Like, you know, with Pinhead and stuff, but you can't know what you don't know. And you have to also just kind of go, the narrator also doesn't know everything. So I'm going to just fully embrace this. It wasn't difficult to sin in some ways, but then in other ways, these just always intimidate me. And I know I say that every time, so I feel like a broken record. So.
Just like the Star Wars stuff in general?
Yeah, just Star Wars in general. I know that there's so many people that love the material and they're very passionate about it. I don't think they're assholes or anything. Like, I don't feel attacked in comments on this one in particular. It's just like I don't know. It just feels like it's like sacred ground in a way.
Right, the pressure elevates.
Yeah, it would be like sinning Star Trek. Like if we were going to go in and start sending like Next Generation or something, it's like, oh, I don't know about this because there's so much to consider that I just can't know. But the show itself is interesting. I mean, I don't quite understand why I care to watch it yet. Like, again, I always look for who's the person that I'm connecting to, what am I most interested in. And I don't know what that character necessarily is yet. I think it's probably Omega.
Yeah, just it's because supposed to be Omega, I think.
They're like, oh, who is this mysterious, you know, person?
Or just like that team aspect, you know, just like rooting for the team.
And they did an interesting thing, you know, setting up that the team splits. It felt a little bit long to me, but I did enjoy it. And I don't mind the animation aspect of it either. Like just the kind of like the more chunky, you know, Transformers, Beast Wars-esque feel to it. Yeah. It has a nice little nostalgia vibe for me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would put it on and watch it all the way through to learn everything, but it's not bad.
Jonathan, what do you think?
It's not a bad batch. That's what you're saying.
It's not.
That's what
I'm
saying. Real quick,
if we were to send TNG, though, Danae, we would start with the pilot, and no one likes Encounter or Farpoint, so you'd be okay there. Just throwing that out there. And now there's going to be all these people. I love Encounter or Farpoint, so sorry, you're wrong. Bad batch. I thought it was okay. I'm kind of like Danae. I haven't watched any of the other episodes. I don't know that I will anytime soon, at least, unless we send them. This was okay. I mean, I wish it was 20 minutes, but you know, whatever. It's 90, so I watched it. It was it's okay. It's fine. I felt lost. I was lost most of it. I mean, I did remember, like, when you guys mentioned that was Freddie Prinze Jr. I did remember that character. That's a younger version of the character from Rebels, right?
Yes.
Because we send that, and so I kind of caught that, and then but these were characters that were introduced on Clone Wars.
Yep.
Is that right?
Correct. Okay.
So see, I haven't seen Clone Wars, so I was a little lost, but I got the gist of it, and it was okay.
Yeah, I think I like it more than both of you. I mean, obviously I do, because I watched a few more episodes. I have not watched the entirety of the first season that's out. I think I stopped at like episode 4, so I don't know what that says. Maybe I'm just not. It didn't hold my attention for too long. But generally, I like this kind of world exploration, and I think that the Clone Wars cartoon was really the first thing that was like, okay, Star Wars can like build on its world without, you know, having to have all the pressure of the prequels or George Lucas or, you know, the Skywalker saga. So for me, Clone Wars was Dave Filoni basically like allowing the prequels to have built something valuable. It almost redeems the prequels in some ways with the world building it does. And so I appreciated it for that. I think this is, you know, it's a continuation of that. And I like the characters. So, yeah.
I know a lot of people love the prequels. I mean, whenever I hear that it redeems the prequels, I just don't get it. But yeah, sure.
No, the stuff Clone Wars does with Obi-Wan and Grievous and like there's... I don't know. There's some really good stuff there. So
that's a whole other conversation. But those are just like I rewatched those before Skywalker. You know, I rewatched all the movies, and that was the first time I'd seen any of those since the theater. And I like them even less, I think, watching them this time. There's characters. There's interesting characters and stuff like you're talking about, and then they further deal with those characters and other properties, which is great, but it's just those movies are just such a mess. I also see a lot of Encounter at Farpoint chatter already in the chat, and I'm sorry if I offended anybody.
No.
It introduces Q, and Patrick Stewart's really good, so there.
There you go. There you go.
I'm forgiven.
Let's get into the sins themselves. Jonathan, you get to kick us off again.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I worked on nothing this week. I had
You had the week off. That's how it works.
I had the week off. That's how it works. Using trust me as an answer to an important question and a life or death struggle. That was very nice. Another fuck you, Frank. I'm an artist.
I have to say, you know, you talk about that's not how it works. The fact that you're not in menu didn't work on anything. The way these air is so weird because the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where I introduced the I'm an artist thing was 3 months ago. Like it was forever ago, you know? And then I wrote it again into Bad Batch, and now they're within a week of each other. So now it just looks like it's the only sin I know how to write.
Well, and last week you even said this is the second time we used it, but this hadn't aired yet.
It was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
We can't plan this.
I don't feel so bad about my Candyman comment now.
That's right.
Just the Freddie Prinze Jr., that 45-year-old voice does not go with that teenage face, which I didn't even catch that when I was watching it. I just assumed it was a kid, so I wasn't even thinking about it. You guys, I went back and listened. I was like, oh, that's totally Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Just, and he's like all like he's smoked for 20 years. Yeah, like he's very, like, it's very raspy.
I mean, I get why they had to do, or felt like they had to do it, because, yeah, you know, it was his character from, you know, the Clone Wars. But yeah, it does not work as a kid voice.
No.
I loved the trolling of, good to see they were able to use the CG rendering of Tarkin from Rogue One without having to make a single adjustment. Smart and efficient.
Yeah.
And then I just love the reading of YOLO, baby.
YOLO, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny.
Feel free to throw one of those in anytime.
I just want to say, for mine, I was wrong about the rap. I admit that now.
You were wrong about the rap? What did you say about the rap?
I didn't want you to do it.
Oh. I remember you wanted to cut it. Like, I remember you wanted to cut a lot of it out.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to cut. I was like, can we just not do the whole thing? And you're like, no, it's great. Let's see what it looks like whenever it's put together. And I was like, whatever. And then Jonathan sees it. He's like, yeah, this rules. This is awesome. And I'm like, okay, it's going to stay in. And then the comments, got some love in the comments, too. So, good job. Good job following your instincts there. I like the, I suggest you keep moving. And the reason that I like that one is it's a D&D reference, obviously. But when people cast the suggest spell in Dungeons & Dragons, they usually will inflect, like, they'll put emphasis on the word suggest, because that's part of, like, what makes someone do what you want. There's a spell where you can suggest someone do something, and if that person fails their wisdom save, then they kind of like have to do it, play along with the whole thing. So it was just the way that it was delivered, and I really enjoyed that one. But my favorite one was certainly the one that was written like this. This is about manipulating pre-existing abjurations in the DNA. So the lead-in is like, resulting in your brute strength, crosshairs, sharp shooting skills, hunter's enhanced senses, and my exceptional mind. And this is what Aaron wrote.
Oh, no.
This text position of each member's ability is so unnecessary, unnecessarily specific. They may as well have just cut to character sheets so I could see their insert D&D terms here, Danae. So when it was sent to me, it was like, hey, I want to do something, but I don't know the D&D term, but I did. And it was just character sheet. That's fine. But it was,
that's awesome.
Of course, comments think that was my sin. It wasn't. It was Aaron's trying to.
I like how Aaron just said what you said. This is what Aaron said. And he just goes, oh no. Like, I'm going to get found out.
No, I just thought that was so funny because it works perfectly, and I'd already written a D&D sin myself, so it just kind of felt like a fun way to just have a couple of winks. That was one of the ones I liked, and I also really did enjoy that we kept my camping sin, which is a terminology for, like, when you're playing a shooter game like Call of Duty, which I used to love to play all the time. There are certain,
you had to
players,
explain that to me. Yeah, I remember
there are certain players who will camp in one spot and they'll just like sniper people, and they're called campers. And so I like that we got to do a little wink to some video gaming love. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I really enjoyed sinning all of, like, the where they have them face off against the killer robots stuff, because they make so many poor decisions there and do so many stupid things. And the fact that it's like, we don't do lethal stuff here, but we just happen to have these lethal robots installed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, it was just all that kind of stuff was really fun to take to task. It was over Crosshair. You had the high ground. Wanted to mention that because for some reason he jumps down from the tower. And then the list. The other thing I wanted to mention was the listing of all the convenient ways that the Jedi is still holding that lightsaber when it falls out, so they can see that the Jedi died or whatever. And it's just like all the things that had to happen for that little convenient moment to take place was really, really fun. So. Enjoyed that as
cool.
well. All right, let's move on to music video sins. Dua Lipa.
A good song.
It's a decent song. It is a really fun song. It's a really fun song.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a good ditty, as they would say.
It's a
in 1924.
And also, this one has a Control C, Control V reference, just like Star Wars does too, with the repeating of the clone stuff. So
nice.
Somebody make a joke about us V-ing Control C, Control V-ing our jokes.
You know, my daughter listens to most of the, you know, current popular people. So, like, Dua Lipa is the one that I've always found, like, more tolerable than most. She's had at least 5 or 6 songs like this where I'm like, yeah, I like this. This is fun. I can listen to this and not want to, like, you know, jump out the car.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it is repetitive.
Which is a scale. There is a scale. You're a parent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It is repetitive, as mentioned in the Control C, Control V sin. But I mean, most pop music is. And it is for a reason, because that's, you know, that's how it's catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about it. I, you know, it's a basic song about that emotion, that feeling of, you know, having someone. And like when you're with them and you're levitating and, you know.
Nae's expression when you're like, yeah, you know, you start explaining the song. <She's>...
so it's a common emotion. I totally get it. But be careful. Be careful. Don't base your relationships on that feeling, because that feeling is not the only part of your relationship.
Man, who got married at 17.
The walking is just as important as the levitating, Dua Lipa.
And to be fair, but I really don't. I'm joking though when I say that. You and your wife are an amazing couple everyone should look up to.
Insert compliment about relationship here.
Didn't Barrett have something to say about this? Probably about butts or something.
Yeah. Barrett, I'm sure, had something to say.
I like Dua Lipa's butt. That was me quoting Barrett. Prediction. Not me.
Prediction. Dua Lipa, Dilly Leapy, Dong Long Wompy. Dua Long Wompy.
Is this what he wrote?
Nope, this is Danae.
Oh.
Dua Lipa is my sugar boo. Of course, she's beautiful and all that, but I mean it in a way that I think we'd be cool with each other while hanging out. I love her dry background sound that's become kind of her signature now. She's picking good tracks, good featured artists, and good production. It's the song of the summer, even though it came out last October.
Is that what he had to say? He enjoys it as well.
He's like, they'd be like, what is the pal thing where like you like kind of like you punch the guy in the shoulder? You know what I'm talking about? Like you don't punch, but you kind of go like, hey, you're cool. That's how they would be, Barrett.
Yeah,
that's how Barrett's envisioning him and Dua Lipa.
Yeah,
little buddy shoulder hit kind of thing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Let's go get a beer.
Little buddy bump.
Watch a game.
You and me, Dua Lipa. Let's hang out.
I'm sure that would go over super well.
Danae, did you have anything about this song? Like, what did you have any thoughts?
It's a song.
There you go. Well, why don't you kick us off on the sins then?
Glare in my eye. I loved this one. You're not supposed to apply that directly to your corneas. I just really enjoy that. Yeah. Have you guys ever had glitter in your eyes before?
I don't think so. That
hurts.
I was going to say,
Little shards of pain. And if it gets in your eye, I mean, your eye does what it's supposed to
do. It just flushes
itself out. Yeah. And you've got like watering eyes. And it's just a lot. It's a lot.
Like I've had sand in my eye and stuff like that. I would assume it's similar.
And then you're like glitter.
The worst is something stuck between your contact and your eye. Like that just like, ugh.
Or when your contact rolls behind your eyelid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's these are many, many reasons I don't ever wear contacts.
Yeah. It's a lot. I'm actually thinking about wearing my contacts again. So we'll see if I can manage that pain.
Yeah. Ugh. It doesn't happen that often. I'll
be in like bifocals that are like five times the size of these before I put contacts.
Aaron, here's the thing. For you, you wear soft contact lenses. I have the hard ones. And if those roll behind your eye, it is brutal.
Yeah.
I had to have hard too.
It's brutal.
I didn't have a choice. And I was like, I don't like these.
Yeah. I bet.
Anyway, Dua Lipa is great.
I just had written down, DaBaby truly has the same grasp of the definition of irony as a college freshman. I found that interesting because I've had conversations about the meaning of irony a lot lately, which is, it's just such an easy one to get wrong, I think, you know?
Of course you have.
of course I have. The other one I mentioned was, thanks, but if you have the moonlight, what do you need me for? I thought that was really funny as well. So there you go. What about you, Jonathan?
I want to hear more about these irony conversations.
Okay, so basically, it's just really simple to fall into the more set definition of irony. You know, the idea that irony is just like a negative coincidence, you know, like rain on your wedding day. That's not irony. That's just,
everybody agrees the Alanis Morissette song is not irony. That's why we joke about
it
in our Sins videos.
What is interesting is the word irony, the origin of it actually is a little bit closer to that than you would think, because the origin of it has to do with dramatic irony, has to do with the idea of the audience knowing something that the person on stage doesn't. That is what irony is like there's a bomb that we know about that the person doesn't. So that's irony. That's kind of where it comes from. But what we're talking about is situational irony, which is a little bit different. So, Danae, listen, you only have Jonathan to blame for this. I was moving on. Jonathan was like, tell me more about the irony conversations you've been having.
Well, because I was curious what you were talking about. I found it fascinating.
So, yes. Yeah,
I never thought about it that way.
There are different types of irony. There's dramatic irony, situational irony, tragic irony. Anyhow, those are kind of the conversations I've been
having. That was really hard to do. My eyes are watering now.
I just did. I wrote down, just keep in mind, you are in no way worthy of this invitation. I just thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. I also like the simplicity of, if you're levitating, shouldn't it be no feet?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal for anything living or inanimate to desire or to leave Dua Lipa's chestal area. Barrett's use of the word chestal, and he has many different forms of that are always interesting. So.
Yeah. Yep, you don't want to get punched in the chesties. That is some pain. That is some pain.
Mm-hmm.
Danae.
Animated Aaron wouldn't be in pain.
And that's true. That's true.
He'd be like, punch me.
Danae, tell... Oh, I should say we're moving on to Cinema Sins. We'll kick it off with Happy Gilmore, which was an Atkinson Scott script. So tell me what Chris and Jeremy had to say about this one.
Happy Gilmore. Here comes Jeremy's comments. Happy Gilmore plays golf the same way I approach relationships in college. He does everything a little bit wrong despite flashes of talent and ultimately ends up really angry and screaming a lot when things don't go his way.
He knows this is going on Letterboxd now.
Yeah, he does.
He uses a hockey stick instead of a putter. I use jokes instead of compliments. He runs at the ball before hitting it, much the same way I run directly at women I was interested in, both figuratively and sometimes literally. Happy causes accidents, like getting his caddy's wooden hand run over, much like I caused accidents by simply existing near women, like when I spilled Sprite on one or the time that I tripped another. One girl I dated went paintballing with me, and I literally, accidentally, shot her from behind, friendly fire, and the paintball went under her mask from the back and gave her the biggest bruise on her cheek. This is who I am. I hurt people on accident. Happy blames everyone and everything except himself when things don't go his way. I still do this, actually, just not with women. Happy lies to please women in his life, like when he told his grandma he was going to get the money to buy her house back way before he'd even learned he was good at golf. I lied to simply get dates. Lies like, yes, I have a car, and no, I don't have any warrants. Ultimately, despite not really earning it or changing much about himself, Happy wins the day in the end, much the same way I got married, despite not really earning it or changing much about myself. For what it's worth, give me early years zany Adam Sandler any day, all day, every day. This is when he was at his best. It's that rare movie that no one can argue is stupid as fuck, but almost everyone can enjoy some part of.
Nice.
And that is what Jeremy had to say. Chris adds, Happy Gilmore has become a classic over the years, which is amazing because Adam Sandler has never been popular with critics other than stuff like Punch Drunk Love and Uncut Gems. This is a classic Anything Goes Sandler, where the movies weren't afraid to get absolutely ridiculous for a laugh. It doesn't know golf very well, though. Sandler's windup to drive the golf ball is ludicrous. But I finally got to send a couple of things I have always been annoyed with in this movie. The whole movie is about how if Happy Gilmore could just learn how to putt, he'd be unstoppable. But when he finally learns to putt, he's still in a dogfight with the movie's villain, Shooter McGavin. The other thing on this movie's final hole, a giant media tower falls in front of Happy's ball when he's about to make the winning shot. The rules of golf are strict, but there is no fucking way they'd make him shoot the ball with all that shit in the way. The movie tries to justify by saying, well, Shooter had to shoot off of a spectator's foot earlier, so Happy has to shoot with all the obstacles in the way, and it's bullshit. Anyway, I like Happy Gilmore and Bob Barker, and the Bob Barker fight is still great.
Agree.
I think it's funny that if you go to Top Golf, I think it's Top Golf, where there's actually a sign that says "Do not run up to the ball." Yeah. Like, there's actually you cannot do a Happy Gilmore. That movie's so ingrained in people's psyche that it's actually caused a warning.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, my thoughts are enough similar. I don't really have a lot to add. I think parts of this movie are really, really funny. I like early Adam Sandler more than later. I do think it's interesting that we don't realize how much of it is that we have changed, not necessarily that Sandler has changed. He's doing a lot of the same things he was doing then. It's just culture has kind of moved away from that kind of dumb humor. But I do think they overall are, there's a little more energy and cleverness to those early movies. But yeah, this is one of them. I think there's some fun stuff here, but it's dumb. It's a dumb movie.
This is the only, you can just say you like it. You don't have to say it's dumb. This is
both are true. Both are true, in my opinion.
I don't know. I just, dumb just seems like a lazy way to describe a movie, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But this is the only Adam Sandler comedy I think I even remotely like. So I'm not a fan of, like, I hate, like, I think Billy Madison's terrible and all that stuff that came on around here. I hate The Wedding Singer. But for some reason, this one worked for me. I don't know why. Maybe I like sports comedies. I don't know. This one just, it's just so ridiculous. It's one of those things, too. It's one of those movies where it's hard to send, in my opinion, because, like, everything you're saying is legit, but the movie is not trying to be accurate.
Correct.
You know? So,
correct.
That's always kind of a, kind of like what we talk about with SpongeBob, right?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of, it's similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah,
I also didn't mean that dumb comment to sound as mean as it did.
No, you're fine. If I don't mind trying to figure out a different word. When I say that, what I generally mean is just what you were just talking about. Like, the movie itself is not trying to be smart. It's not trying to do those things. It is purposefully being ignorant, being dumb.
But in the same way, it is kind of smart, like with the humor.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's a really hard, I think that's a hard thing to pull off. And I don't think any of the other Sandler movies pull that off. I know I'm in the minority because I have friends that think Billy Madison's one of the funniest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And I just find it impossible to watch.
Yeah. No, you're,
I get it.
I think you're right on. I'll just have to find a different way of expressing them. No.
You absolutely.
No, I like
don't.
What you're saying. No. Listen, this is growth. I like what you're saying because there has to be a different way to express what I'm trying to express that isn't quite as, demeaning, right? Like, there's a demeaning kind of idea of calling something dumb, but I think there is something about the Sandler movies that they're not anti-intellectual, but they're not trying to be, you know, intellectual.
Well, it's like that scene in Billy Madison, right? Where this is the one scene in Billy Madison I do think's kind of funny, but where he gives that ridiculous answer to that question about he tells that story about the puppy.
Right, right.
And then the person, you know, in a lot of comedies would just let that go or he'd win.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this Billy Madison, the guy actually says, you know, I can't, that's ridiculous. And you've made everyone in this audience less smart for listening to you, you know, that's like, and I think that's what Sandler is going for.
Right.
I assume, I mean, I don't know Adam Sandler, but that's my guess. And I just think it works better in this movie. And like, Christopher McDonald's so good as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And they play off each other so well, like the where they're rhyming with each other, the, you know, I can go make some clay or, you know, and then the you eat shit for breakfast. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's stuff like that. Just it works so well. But then I don't find that in his other movies. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
And I'm in the minority because people. Do you like Sandler, Danae?
Stop staring at me, Swan.
I don't even know what that is.
That's from Billy Madison.
Oh.
The first time I was ever introduced to Adam Sandler was a tape that somebody had. I think it was my boyfriend. He was a senior. I was a freshman.
Ooh,
and
He
and all of his buddies loved Adam Sandler. And he had this comedy tape. And there was this song on it about a There was songs that were there and they listened to them. And then there was this one segment about a goat on jumping on the back of a truck.
So I just said the goat in the comments before you said that.
Yeah. And this fucking goat thing made them laugh so much. And I just remember being like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's funny, but like, is it that funny? Like they were dead. Like this goat thing. That's the first time I was introduced to Adam Sandler. Then I watched an Adam Sandler movie. I think the first one I ever watched was Billy Madison. And I just, it's on that strange little category for me. Like,
yeah,
people
yeah,
think
no.
people like it. I think I'm a hard woman to please. actually, today in my administrative meeting, Barrett said, "I don't know what kind of movies you like," and I was like, "Yeah, me either." Like, good luck figuring it out. Sometimes things just don't hit me. I think I watched this movie. I'm pretty sure I did because the people that I was hanging out with enjoyed.
It would have been in your universe.
But I also don't remember. There's parts of this that seem familiar. Bob Barker, Punch Out is one of them. Do I find Adam Sandler funny? Yeah, sometimes. Do I find his movies funny? Not really. It's very Will Ferrell for me. So.
Yeah, and I don't know. And like, I mean, his stuff after this, I don't know. Like, I watched like this at least through like Little Nicky. So I watched like the first five or six, like when they came out. And then at that point, I was like, I don't think I like these movies. So like, I've seen Mr. Deeds or like 50 First Dates, but if maybe I've seen those, I don't know. But I did. I haven't seen all of them. I will admit that. But just the ones I've seen, I'm just. Yeah. I don't know. Not really into. But for some reason, this one's funny. And I don't know.
It is. It is. Let's talk about the sins. I'll kick us off. You trade sleep for spine damage when talking about the pullout couch. I love the way that was worded. By the way, I'll just stop before I say any more and just say this entire video was just both the CinemaSins videos this week just slayed me. I don't know if I was just in the mood for them, or I mean, they're always funny to me, but I was dying during both of these videos.
You get
videos
like double
week.
Angry, super angry narrator,
right? Yeah, there's something really fun about that. Let's see the line. He doesn't even know because it's a stupid movie with a stupid line of dialogue that stupid doesn't make stupid sense. I like that. The consistent and constant complete misunderstanding of golf. And the way the narrator dealt with that throughout this movie or this video was just so great. Loved that. The sinning of the decal on the camera and just finishing that with how often are cameras on cameras. I really like that observation. And then when he hits the sub into his mouth and the sin is this is actually kind of horrific. I loved that because it just reminded me of the Megan Rapinoe Subway ad.
Same thing.
It was just like they set the plate for this a long time ago. I was just like, I can't believe this. This is amazing.
I remember like that was one of those things too. That I remember back around that time, whenever a movie, and maybe it's still going on. I'm just not thinking about it. But I just remember like there's that scene in Major League where they do like the American Express commercial, and it's like. Movies like don't know what commercials are, I feel like, because like it's the most ridiculous commercial that would probably never happen. But then many years later, we have the Megan Rapinoe commercial. So yeah. maybe it was just ahead of its time.
And then finally, no alcohol, how fire just slayed me as well. So just a lot in this one that I really, really liked. Danae, you want to go next?
Yeah, but I also went to find the part that made everybody laugh about the goat thing. There's this one moment. Okay. And I remember why listening to Adam Sandler cursing and being so crass. That's gotta be part of it is you're like listening to it. Like, oh my God, this guy is saying all of this crazy shit. But there's this one moment when they're trying to get the goat off of the back of the truck and his little goat hooves hit the grass for the first time. And it's just the way that Adam Sandler says, "Ooh, the grass is soft." And that undid everybody, all my friends. And I couldn't remember that part. I went and literally read the entire thing until I found it.
Nice.
It's dumb. Highly recommend you listen. It's dumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? I mean,
I'm sorry I don't say dumb anymore.
Yeah,
I apologize.
I don't like dumb.
That's not what I meant.
We're just teasing you, Jonathan.
Poor Jonathan.
I hate when I say things. No, but Sandler is like, as much as I don't like his movies, like I can still appreciate the fact Sandler is he's funny.
He's
like
entertaining.
He's a comic.
Yeah,
he's a comic genius. Mm-hmm. And he found exactly what an audience wanted. And he could, you know, and he made a career out of that. And I mean, I'm not going to like, because people make fun of him and people give him crap about that. Like, how does an unfunny person do that? Well, they wouldn't because he's not unfunny. He is funny to a lot of people. And he figured out whatever that formula was and, you know, nailed it. And that's your best comics, really. I mean, whether or not you personally find them funny. You know?
Having since watched Mr. Show, Adam Sandler reminds me of a Mr. Show-esque type personality, just saying, like, sure. He was just doing, like, these little skit comedy things just for fun. And I really do enjoy him picking up a guitar and singing silly things. I used to do the same thing.
I mean, I loved him on SNL for a while.
Yeah. I think silly is the better word. And Jonathan, I genuinely not trying to, like, say you're saying something you weren't, because...
No, it was dumb what I said. It was dumb.
It was not. It definitely wasn't. I like the word silly. And I also see that Sandler falls into this category that we've talked about before of pop culture things that a lot of people love, and the people who think it's, like, not good enough or not intelligent enough or whatever develop a hatred for it just because it's so popular. Like, there's this thing that happens where it's like, where we want to take something popular down a notch. And I think it's like very important. Like cinema. We suffer from this as well. Absolutely. We do. And so there's, when something is extremely popular, we have this instinct, if we don't like it as much as everybody else, to go, what is wrong with the world? And Michael Bay falls into this category. Adam Sandler falls into this category. You know, possibly Danae Hughes falls into this category.
Seth MacFarlane
is another one. Yeah, and it's like, why is this so popular? Are people really this stupid? And I think it's a weird thing that I think we all have to wrestle with and just go, no, it's okay that a lot of people love it.
Someone on Twitter, I don't remember why people were hating us that day, but this is a while back. But I remember someone on Twitter called CinemaSins like the Family Guy of YouTube channels, and I was thinking, like, is that bad? You're talking about, like, one of the most popular shows ever.
Yeah.
But I know that's not what they meant. But right. I just remember in my head, I'm like, I don't think that's the insult you think it is.
Yeah, it's very much something that I'm glad that we're trying to be aware of, you know? And I'm glad that it's just something we kind of have to...
Somebody said CinemaSins is not like Little Nicky. I appreciate that. Little Nicky's really bad.
All right. I am now totally lost as to where we are.
It was me. Okay. I just... This movie golfs as much as I have sex. Wait. Was one? That's the only one. Yes, I like that one.
That was great.
Go ahead.
Jonathan, what did you have?
Going off what Aaron was saying about the golf thing, because it's one of those things where, like, I can watch this and be like, I totally get if people are like, well, the movie's not trying to be, you know, trying to have realistic golf. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're not wrong. I mean, the movie has no idea how to play golf.
Right.
And also, like, I love that, like, because, you know, the narrator definitely is a character. It's not Jeremy. But Jeremy is a person that loves golf, like, more than anyone I know. Is really into golf. And so I know a lot of that came from just him watching it, just going, no, that's not right. That's not right. You know,
it's the why it's is there great. Fire underwater in SpongeBob thing, right?
Yeah,
like, we know the show doesn't care, but it's our job to care. So, you know, we're doing our job here. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I liked this movie respects golf less than Mighty Ducks respects hockey. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. Buffalo Bills fans, I thought was really funny.
So funny. There's so much funny stuff in this video.
Now, guys, don't start giving Nicolas Cage movie ideas, okay?
Yep.
I will say, though, I'm kind of making a joke about him being a Fairweather fan with all the flyers and the flags and stuff. I will say, people do collect those when they go to stadiums, though.
They do.
Because I have a lot of baseball ones that I've collected over the years. I don't hang them up, though.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Maybe that's the difference. And I think that was... just about the grandmother. This movie will go on to make her a victim in every sense of the word, but Granny is a tax evader. I just thought was really well written. And it's true. Like, that grandmother is very much a criminal. Regardless of what we think about taxes being stupid and stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, 10 years? Like, she's a criminal.
There you go. There you go. Let's move on to Angry Birds 2. That's right. They made a second Angry Birds movie somehow. This is a Scott Scher script. Jeremy and Barrett writing on this one. I never saw Angry Birds 2. Angry Birds
1. I have not. I'm thankful to say I've never seen it either. My daughter has never been an Angry Birds fan. Yeah. So
first one was enough.
I don't know that we've watched either one of them.
I did watch the first one. Today, I'm assuming you haven't seen either one of them.
No.
But you've played the game, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you introduced me to Angry Birds back in the day.
No. Angry Birds became popular. Maybe I talked to you about it.
That's why
it became popular. Like, super short-lived, because
you were being ironic playing.
It would have been the first version of Angry Birds, because
sure.
I definitely didn't get into it like you did. You went fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, that's what I do with
Angry
my games.
Birds.
Yeah,
you were nuts.
You were an angry Aaron.
You went mad. You went wild.
I freestyle everything,
do
man.
Do you remember when you did Candy Crush and became a whole thing on our radio show?
Do you remember, they mentioned Candy Crush in this video. I thought it was hilarious. But do you remember why I stopped playing Candy Crush?
Because it never ended?
No, that is not why. I'd still be playing it today. I truly believe
if Candy Crush hadn't happened,
I would still be playing this game today.
Okay, what is it? Did you burn your finger?
I lost all my scores. I lost all my records. Like they said they were backing it up to the cloud, and I changed my phone and it wasn't there. And I talked to, like, because you know me, like you were saying with Angry Birds.
You were expert.
Expert, 3-star everything, high scores, all that stuff. And I don't go to the next level until I knock everything out. And so I had like hundreds and hundreds of thousands probably of Candy Crush levels that I had slayed. Gone. And I was just like, meh, that's no fun anymore. Because in my mind, I have to go rebeat all those to play the game. It's so weird. It's a sickness.
I think so.
Did you ever do Farmville?
I never
or whatever
did
that
Farmville.
Was
no, those kind God, of games don't appeal
wife,
to me. Yeah.
My wife was doing that. I remember, like, we'd have to be home by a certain time because she had to tend to her crops. And I was like, okay, this is getting silly. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, but she enjoyed it. I mean, I don't mean anybody that enjoys that game, but I'm just saying it was just kind of one of those things. I think eventually she was kind of like, I don't want to, like, this game is kind of like almost controlling what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I had to stop playing efficiency games because of that reason.
Yeah.
Games like Adventure Capitalist, the Paperclip game, like those games where the more you get your systems running well, the better off they do. And then you get like bonus. Like I had to stop playing them because they really were dominating my day. I've deleted them all, you know, off my stuff. And yeah, so I have to play stuff that's level based now where I can go play a level, enjoy it, and then forget about
it
until I have time.
I played Angry Birds, I think, like once, and it would have been like Danae saying, it would have been very early on. And I couldn't get past the third or fourth level. And then I was done. I was like, man, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I 3-starred everything in Angry Birds. And then when they released a couple like Angry Birds other games, I did those
as well. They had like a Star Wars one, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Yeah, I did that one as well. Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow, I thought Danae introduced me into that. It's probably because most games I've played, you have been the one that been like, hey, have you seen this game? So I could just be misremembering. But anyhow, once the first movie came out, I was done with Angry Birds. I was like, I'm not going to support this. So I'm out. And that was it. Haven't touched Angry Birds since.
How freaking dare
I mean,
they.
I like the idea of Jason Sudeikis, you know, voicing an animated character.
Sure.
But just nothing about this appealed to me. No. And then Mackenzie never wanted to watch it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just taking, you know, something that people recognize and trying to make more money off of it somehow.
Absolutely. Like Emoji Movie.
They had said... The people who made Angry Birds thought that Angry Birds was going to be Disney. They thought it was going to be Disney 2.0.
Yeah,
they were planning for amusement parks, for movies. Like they really thought they had something.
Who's behind this? I don't even know.
I forget what the company's name is, but yeah. What did Jeremy have to say about
We have a commentary from Jeremy Scott. Angry Birds 2, quote, from the writer of the Ice Age movies and the writer of Cars 3, end quote, dot, dot, dot. As I was finishing up my Sin script for Angry Birds 2, Barrett sent me a message about his progress, stating that, quote, this movie isn't as bad as the first one, unquote.
And oh, no.
I thought that was one of the most factually wrong things I'd ever heard in my entire life. Thankfully, before it affected our friendship, Barrett continued watching... and sending this movie and discovered how wrong he had been. Because if you do actually watch this fucker all the way through, you will want to choke a baby animal. I had this sin that we cut that listed all the famous stars in this movie doing voices and shaming them for not at least insisting on some kind of a decent story. Instead [S2] Nice. [S1] Of a decent story, we get an absolute drivel along with DreamWorks worthy amounts of toilet humor. But guess what? It made over $150 million at the box office. That's 5 times what Iron Giant made. And yeah, apples to oranges. Only here's the apple. Only here, the apple is a fantastic movie with retro animation and huge amounts of heart, and the orange is a worthless piece of excrement floating out too. See, that's Blawowski for you non-Sideways fans out there. Bukowski floating out to sea. That's Bukowski for you Sideways fans out there. I didn't make that up.
Okay.
Because, like Miles and Sideways, Angry Birds 2 may not have a single original thought to share. It just wants to distract you with talk about wine and then get in your pants before accidentally telling you your friend that's banging her friend is getting married Saturday and everyone goes home miserable and even the car gets wrecked for no good reason. And what was I talking about? And that's the end of nice. Jeremy's...
I'm glad movies don't make me as mad as they do Jeremy.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know that I would watch movies if they made me mad.
Hi. Yeah. Yes.
Welcome to today's life.
Even movies I dislike, I'm just kind of like, yeah, that wasn't good. And then I move on to the next thing. I'm
with you.
There are examples, I'm sure, of movies that have pissed me off, but I just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You get to a certain age. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's head into the sins for Angry Birds 2. Again, a hilarious video. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off with some of the stuff you liked?
Dickhead's position.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought was great. And then the wording of Nestflix and chill.
Yes, very much appreciated that. Well done.
Yes. nonsense. You think a multimedia franchise called Mad Birds would have taken off? Mm-hmm. And then I don't know why, but I loved all the anger at Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write a specific send down, but that was a send off. That was kind of like a sequel to Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, just the narrator blaming Chris for everything. There was like, you will not break me, Chris.
That was the one I wrote down of the series. No. It's great. It's you that you will not break me, broke me.
And then I just love the observations. Like, where did he get the fucking popcorn? I just thought that was very funny.
Yeah, totally. Danae, what about you?
The Nestflix and chill reference was nice. I liked the sin where it starts off with like, you're going to expect me to sin this newspaper, but that actually matches. But none of these books have titles, like a quick redirect and then the sin later on again about that. Call back to The Dark Knight Rises was fun. And then when the whale blows the eggs up onto a fluffy cloud and he's like, you heard me.
Yes. I had that written down too.
That was great.
The gliding past Saturn only to be exited. It's not funny. It doesn't make sense. It's not a valid piece of content. Basically, this movie is CinemaSins.
Yep. I had that. Yeah. So good.
The guitar smashing rage hate, with Chris. And then, when the narrator rages on the tiny little birds that he wants to egg wash, batter dip, deep fry, and eat, because he's just so mad at those little characters, I cracked up at that. And then the lead-in is this one of the people in the movie that says, so you did all of this because you were afraid of not being liked? And the narrator responds, yes! Oh, you were asking Red the Bird. Oh, okay. It's just a really funny... insight into Jeremy's beautiful mind.
Yeah, I love that. I had that one too. Let's see what's left.
Not a lot.
I mean, there's. Yeah, I mean, there's
Janae
so
and I
much.
Did every
it was
sin.
That this one cracked.
You
me
really
up quite
both
a bit.
Did. You were like, okay, they did that one and that one
check,
and that
check,
one
check,
and that
check,
one
check,
and
check.
That one. What do I have left? Oh, Angry Turds. Okay, gotta mention.
A valid sin. It works.
I'm kidding. I did like that one. It was very fun.
How do they tie off balloons with their little piggy hands? Made me laugh. That's the way that was phrased. So yeah, but you guys.
So the pigs are the villains.
Yes.
Of the game.
Of the game. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go. That's Angry Birds 2. Let's move into Keeping Tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps, it's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... okay. We're gonna try this. Okay.
I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to talk about something from the sin process this week. Maybe something you researched, whatever you want to talk about. Now, Jonathan, you didn't write on anything.
Yeah, I don't.
But that
I don't
mean
have anything.
You didn't necessarily have anything.
But I don't.
But
have
you
anything.
Don't. So we'll move on.
I looked up the Taco Bell Grande and found nothing. So
well, there you go. You know, sometimes it's not about the writing. Though mine's not about the writing.
I know.
I don't think I've told you guys this story either, but last week during the show, and it's still in the show, but we were trying to figure out what the thing underneath the tongue was called. I don't know if you remember this moment, Danae, but you were wondering what the thing underneath the tongue. And somebody in the chat said the frenulum was what the little thing under the tongue was called. Yeah. And in my mind, I was like...
That's not right.
In my mind, I was like, I know that word. I don't think that's what it's related to. And so then when I started editing, I had that moment
Brooklyn
again.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, right?
I had that little moment again. And I was like, no, I think that's something like sexual or something like on the genitals. And I was right. The frenulum is actually...
Oh, no,
and let's
not.
We, you know, we're all adults here. We can talk about anatomy.
Penis! Sorry.
But the frenulum is the part right under the head of the penis that kind of connects the shaft to the penis and some of the skin there, and that's called the frenulum.
So what you're saying is someone in chat trolled me to say that out loud.
So, yes. So here's what now.
Okay,
but hold
so
on,
now
but hold
we
on.
Have to ban that person from chat.
But hold on. So
wait,
I was
where
like,
to the frenulum?
So,
no.
So
was,
where is this located?
well, Jonathan, let me show you. No, that's not what we do here.
That is not going to be part of the after show.
No, I missed what you said, though. What did you say where it was located?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'll say it again. We're all adults. It's just anatomy. It is between the shaft and the head of the penis. Underneath, there's a little attachment, like the skin that attaches under there.
Kind of like a little attachment for a vacuum
frenulum.
Cleaner or something. You know, like.
I think I just figured out something. Somebody was mentioning that they had torn theirs before, and I'm just now thinking, because I had an issue one time.
Wait.
And I think maybe I did that as well.
Oh.
So it's like I'm having like this real, like you're, I'm being serious, like not now, like years ago,
right.
But like,
yeah.
I think now I know what happened.
You tore your frenulum.
No, I'm serious.
No,
like
fine.
I'm being, why is Danae, I mean, stuff happens to your body parts.
That's right.
I mean, it wasn't.
That's right, Danae. We can all be adults here.
It just seems really painful.
It was very painful, and like I had blood and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I thought I'd like popped a blood vessel or something. I mean, it was awful. It was like,
so
it was awful.
So we're only partway through this story, okay?
Oh,
so
God.
here's the thing. So I'm thinking, oh, we got trolled. I'm gonna edit this out. And then I had a thought.
Another one.
It's kind of like the same kind of thing under the tongue. Are they both called the same thing? So I researched frenulum tongue, and yes, it is also the thing under your tongue is also called the frenulum. So I left it in because it's technically both.
Technically, it's both.
So,
wow.
So, yes. Although
that's
one
cool.
in the tongue is usually called like the tongue frenulum or something like that. If you just say
that makes
frenulum.
Sense. Yeah. Yeah. You might want to make sure people know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, when you said that, the reason I said Brooklyn Nine-Nine is because when you said that, I immediately thought of Frimulon, which is
the company.
The production studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I just,
yeah,
that's
they,
immediately
they have
what
a
I
few
thought
shows,
of.
But yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frimulon.
That's funny. So, yes. So, in context, in conversation, if you're talking about the tongue part and you want to say things like, can you check out my frenulum and see if it, you may want to clarify, because you know there are two things that are called the frenulum. So there you go. That was my keeping tabs for this week.
Wow. That so is doing go. The Lord's
and
work.
And I might have discovered something that happened to me in the past. Like I had a had a flashback.
Wow. Man.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
This is like therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Danae, what is your keeping tabs?
Oh, cool. Yep. I sure looked stuff up. Most of
follow
it.
That. Follow that, Danae.
But I don't remember what it was.
because I think it was about SpongeBob. I had it written down and then I accidentally deleted it. I think I looked up how sponges breathe underwater again. And then I also looked up how starfish breathe underwater as well, because after reading Aaron's sin about like Patrick's dead now, I was like, this is really fascinating. And somebody in chat mentioned earlier that we basically became marine biologists due to SpongeBob.
It's so true.
And it's so true.
It's like that Seinfeld episode. Is there a marine biologist around?
But yeah, so just there's the sponges have, you know, cells that just turn the natural oxygen in the water into what they need. So it's just a fascinating situation. But
you're talking about like actual, like a living sponge, yes. Not like a sponge that we wash our dishes with.
Right, because those are dead.
We hope.
What are those? I'm so confused now. Now you're making me think that like we buy sponges that were live animals.
They were once alive. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
Not really. I mean, there are.
I know.
What are the ones like bath loofahs? I think some people use loofahs that were.
I use loofahs. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I use like just stuff that's sold at a grocery store. I don't think I use anything that was live once.
La who for her.
Oh, so like if you ever use a loofah, you can't go back to a washcloth. You just can't.
Mm, yeah.
But real sponges are really interesting. They're like circular mostly. So I don't, you know, so SpongeBob is obviously
square.
Not.
But you're saying people use, go back to the loofah thing though. You're saying people use loofahs that were once creatures?
So like loofahs come from like they're a plant, but I don't know if they're actually water-based. I'm doubting myself, but I think originally I thought they were from the ocean because I was talking with somebody about it, but then I did some research and they're not. They're like I think they're like a vegetable.
Somebody says in the chat, a loofah sponge is actually the fruit from a plant. I've helped peel the skin off of one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah. I just thought it was something somebody made, like a sponge or something.
Well, it is now. People do make them now.
Yeah, now. I mean, I'm sure it is now because it's commercialized and everything.
Yeah.
But,
so, yeah, I think it's like...
They're magic.
They're thought to be like a sea sponge or like some type of... what is it called? Like a coral or something like that. But they're like... Are they a gourd? I don't remember.
now you got me. Yeah, you said coral, though. It's like just imagine washing your like backside.
Was you're keeping
coral.
Tabs on loofahs or sponges?
It's
derailed this.
It's fine because it kind of goes together. I did research on sponges and learned that they are, quote, the simplest multicellular animal, which really helps us to understand SpongeBob.
That's right.
I never thought, like, but I gotta be honest, like, and I mean, maybe this makes me dumb, but I never thought about SpongeBob. Like, I just always kind of, when I hear sponge, I just think of, like, a sponge, like, that I clean something with or, you know, wash off a counter with. So, but yeah, that makes total sense that, like, I'm just having a lot of realizations today.
That's okay.
It's good.
Keeping
tabs is for. That's what keeping tabs is for.
It's okay. That conversation helped me find my link again. So they lack true tissue. Sponges lack true tissue. They have no muscle, nerves, or internal organs.
Do they wear pants?
They all wear pants. Mm-hmm. And only 20% wear ties and only 1% wear shoes.
So 1% of the 20% or
It's just I mean the numbers are really small, so for us to actually see SpongeBob captured in the wild for the show it's a rare treat.
Pretty rare. We should all feel privileged, as I'm sure we all do. This also reminds me, I didn't mention it, but the sin where we say that they can eat a bag of sea cucumbers for all I care. that just reminded me of that, talking about the underwear.
By the way, people are going to listen to like the last 20 minutes of this podcast and think I need help.
that's all right. We all feel that way every podcast. The people are going to listen to it and
feel extremely stupid this week, though. And I'm not looking for compliments. That's a legit thing. I'll get over it.
We can move into the comment section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're going to take a look at the comments from the week. Could be from anywhere, from Discord or YouTube or Twitter or wherever you want to find them. I will say, we've already talked about both the comments I had pulled, so I don't really have anything new. One of them was about the me asking you about a D&D term, because the hi, Danae, after the one about the modifiers and the character sheets, I wanted to talk about that, but we kind of already covered that. That was like me saying to Danae, add D&D term here. And then the other one was the pinhead and not understanding why that was so funny. So I don't really have any others. Jonathan, what did you have this week?
Mine is from Twitter. I hope it's okay to bring this up. I just thought it was funny. So certain tiers of our Patreon get letters from us or get cards from us. Mm-hmm. And then also at Sin Week, they got packages, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have one awesome listener and person who we've all become friends with, Louise, who's in Australia, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I sent her a card, last month, and she got it this past week. And so she tweeted at me, "Got your card. Apparently letter sending works, but not package sending. Ha, ha, ha."
Poor DQ. We sent her a package for a Sin Week event.
Yeah, it was over 2 months ago.
She still has not received it. It's insane.
Poor thing. Yeah. But I just thought that was funny. But I'm glad she got my letter, and that made me laugh. And,
nice.
But she is at DQ Louise on Twitter. She is a great follow.
Yeah. Danae, what is your comment for the week?
Adam says, nothing is wrong with Bad Batch. Don't watch this video. He's a hater. Don't feed the hater. Just kidding, TV Sins. I love you. So thank you, Adam McClendon, for that one.
That's great. Did you guys... go ahead. Sorry.
Throwback. I have one from Throwback Thursday that also cracked me up, from Bad Batch before Clone Wars. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
It is interesting.
I just love people.
Do you remember we talked about doing Clone Wars and we ended up doing Rebels instead?
Yeah.
And so Clone Wars is still out there.
When we did Rebels, a lot of people are like, "Why'd you do Rebels? You should have done Clone Wars. Clone Wars is the one that you should send."
Yeah.
And I also wanted to do this one for Felicia, who says, "No sin over the fact that squirrels do not hibernate," with 102 likes on that one. And to that I say, a quick Google search will tell you that ground squirrels hibernate during the winter, but tree squirrels do not.
Sure.
So calm down. And 102. Yeah,
they have to, that's why they have to store nuts. They're nuts.
Guys, I mean, come on. And then from the chat, I'm going to do this one from Slab, who says, "How am I posting this comment in the present? The video just came out." Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Slab. Appreciate
that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, let's move into our Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the pop culture world that we have seen recently, and Jonathan's going to start. What do you got?
Yeah. This movie will come out. I saw this movie a few weeks ago, and I think I finally can talk about it. I've seen a bunch of reviewers on Twitter talking about it. It'll come out the day after this airs. It's getting released on June 25th. So, but it's a movie called Werewolves Within. It is based on, I'm not a video gamer, but apparently that is a pretty popular video game. I can't remember. It's like Ubisoft or Capcom. I can't remember. But it is based on this video game, at least loosely. It's directed by Josh Rubin. His last movie was called Scare Me, which I talked about on Beyond the Sins when it came out last year and really enjoyed. It was a really fun, interesting take on, it was just a really fun, interesting movie. And now he's doing this movie, which is a little bit bigger. It's got a bigger cast and everything. And this movie is so much fun. It's a werewolf movie, but it's got like a murder mystery in the vein of something along the lines of Clue. So it's very much a comedy. You've got these current, like, I would say underseen, like, comic actors in it. You've got Sam Richardson is the star of it. He was in Veep. Milana Weintraub, who most people know as Lily, the AT&T girl. But she's also a very talented stand-up comic. Very good actor, too. She was, like, on This Is Us, I think, for a few episodes. And she's been on random stuff. But this is kind of one of her first, like, starring roles. Michaela Watkins is in this, who was really good on SNL for a couple years. when she got released from SNL, I believe she was the one that Lorne Michaels told her, "You're too funny to be on this show," which I've always found to be a really interesting way to let somebody go. But
yeah.
And then Cheyenne Jackson's in it, who you might know from Glee, and Michael Chernus, who's really good in Barry. So you've just got all these really nice comic actors playing off each other. It's kind of like this Agatha Christie and Then There Were None kind of setup where they're in this small town. I think it's in Colorado. That might not be right. I can't remember. I don't have it pulled up. But they're in a small town with a lot of snow, so they're kind of snowed in. And then they start getting picked off one by one. They start thinking that maybe it's a werewolf that's doing it. There's also this underlying plot line about there's some new zoning laws that are coming in. There's like a new pipeline coming in. So there's like all this stuff going on. So there's all these different kind of red herrings and stuff thrown in. So it's a really fun murder mystery. It's really funny. It's kind of like if you were to, I mean, I said Clue, but also like in the vein of something like Edgar Wright, like Hot Fuzz maybe or something along those lines. Like if you're into that kind of comedy, like it's very much in that kind of vein. And it's just, I don't want to say anything about it because I don't want to ruin anything, but it's a lot of fun. But it comes out in theaters on the 25th. If you have a chance to see it in a theater, I think this would be a great movie with an audience if you're comfortable being with an audience these days. And then it's coming on demand and all that stuff on July 2nd. And, but yeah, man, it's so much fun. If any of that sounds interesting to you, I highly recommend it.
Nice.
It's definitely one of my favorite movies so far this year.
Werewolves Within is the name of the movie and will be in theaters soon or already in theaters?
It'll be in theaters June 25th. So it'll if you're listening to this the day it comes out, it'll be out tomorrow, basically. Okay. Yeah.
So nice. Danae, what do you got?
I'm going to do a self plug for my Twitch today.
Nice.
Mostly because I haven't done anything other than getting it prepped to stream this week. I haven't watched anything. I've been on vacation. In fact, I came back to work to do BTS today. So, as soon as the show is over, I'm checking back out and we'll enjoy time off for the rest of the day. And I'll be back to work full time next week. But I have been prepping my Twitch channel to be able to do some streaming. So I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm not gonna say you're gonna enjoy it. But Aaron and I do a show every Monday morning at 9 already. So at least once a week, Aaron and I are over there just chatting about life for our Shoe the Dough podcast. We do that with a live audience, and that's on my Twitch channel. And then I'm going to start streaming playing Red Dead Redemption 2 soon. I'm not sure about my schedule just yet, because I got to figure a couple more things out, but I got my computer all set up and the game's downloaded and ready to go. So it's going to be a bit of a shit show, and I'm okay with that. And I also, I don't know, I'm just excited to try something new and like get into gaming again a little bit. So my Twitch channel is the same as my Twitter handle. It's Danae Says. And so if you guys are on Twitch, please go follow me, and I'll put up my schedule on Twitch. And I'll also be tweeting like when I go live and stuff, so you guys can try to catch it. There's VODs, but they're only available for 2 weeks. So if you want to catch something I do, like I did a really interesting interview with someone named Derek, who is another person who I'm going to be gaming with. He is a voice actor and a role player, and was a really, really fun interview. And that's live on my Twitch channel right now if you guys want something to watch. It was a riot talking with him. It was like a roller coaster of just raw excitement the whole time. We were like kids together, and I love interviews like that. So that's over on my Twitch channel right now. So yeah, Danae Says, DNEESAYS.
Very nice. That is Twitch. Danae Says, is it Twitch dot? I forget.
TV.
Twitch.tv / Danae Says.
So are Morning DNA and Shoe the Dough the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they are.
Which I've totally watched every week.
I know you do.
Nice.
But, explain it to me like I haven't ever seen it.
So Aaron and I have been podcasting since 2012 with little intermittent breaks here and there. And our main show is Shoe the Dough, or Do the Show. And then we have all these different segments that kind of have come underneath it. Like Sif Pop, for example, originated under our Shoe the Dough umbrella. And so the Morning DNA is kind of just us going live doing our show, but it's part of our main podcast.
Yeah,
no, because I have listened to Shoe the Dough before, but that like it went away for a minute, right?
Yeah, and it had to, because our bosses threatened to fire us because we were talking about relevant things to Christian people who are going to be hurt. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Was that too raw?
I'm sorry about that.
Hey, listen, you've still got stuff you got to work through, apparently. Shoe the Dough is in season six, and season six is the Morning DNA era of Shoe the Dough. So,
I have actually watched Morning DNA. I like making jokes like that. I like that expression. Explain it to me like I've never done this.
Just pretend like I'm not paying.
Pretend like I don't know.
I wasn't paying attention the whole time, and then just say it again for fun.
I'm going to talk about Hacks, which I binged the entire first season of. It is a recent show on HBO Max. I didn't get into it until it had started and decided to watch all 10 episodes. They're about half an hour each, and so it's not a terribly long binge, and it's great. It's really, really fun. Gene Smart is having a moment right now, Mayor of Easttown and then this. And then I would even go back to, what was the X-Men show that she was in? Starts with an L, I think.
Legion.
You know, she was great in Legion. Like, she's just having a moment right now. And she is incredible in this. The level of difficulty being a stand-up comedian in a piece of content about a stand-up comedian is so high, because there is a skill set that stand-up comedians develop over years and years of being on stage. And she, I believe every second that she is a stand-up comedian that's been doing it forever. And it's so great. Her and Hannah Einbinder are kind of the core of this show. And you may, feel like you've heard of this kind of story before, where, you know, somebody who is set in their ways and has done it the same way, you know, for a long time, meets up with somebody who's young and wants to freshen up kind of how they do things. It's been in other shows, movies, whatever, but it is completely fresh here. The side characters are a lot of fun. I had so much fun with this show. This is a big recommend for me. Again, it's awesome. Called Hacks. And is on HBO Max.
I'm always going to correlate this for the rest of my life, though, with you brought this up to All of Us, and Chris basically was like, I don't know what this is. There's too many TV shows. Fuck television.
Yeah. It was his breaking point.
He was like, God damn it. But we do joke around with Aaron a lot, because we're just like, how does somebody with four children watch this much television? And he knows how to schedule.
Yeah, it's all about planning. Hacks is, I think, worth the binge. And you'll know, cool. I mean, you'll know quickly. You'll know within the first couple of episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do feel like many shows, this show really finds its rhythm in about episode four. It's great. Episodes one through three are fine, but episode four on is just, and maybe it's a combination of the show finding its rhythm, but also me falling into the show's rhythm. Like, it could be both of those things. But yeah, once I got to about episode four, I was like, oh, feed me. Like, I want the next one. Like, this is so good.
Is it sitcom length? Like, is it like 30 minutes or is it longer? Okay.
Yeah. 20 to 30 minute per episode.
I like that. Like that. Yeah. Recommend all those to me.
Yeah. 10 episodes, in the season. So you're probably looking at 4.5 hours total for the entire season binge. So there you go. Hacks on Hacks. HBO Max.
Hey, somebody said you're batting 1,000 for TV recommends. Way to go, Aaron.
Nice. Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, Mayor of Easttown. I'm glad you watched Mayor of Easttown, Nick. Man, that show is amazing.
And that's Girls 5 Eva.
All of a sudden, I just forgot her name. Who were we just talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Gene Smart,
but the moment I knew, like, because I was watching Mayor of Easttown, my wife wasn't watching it. She told me she wanted me to watch it first and let her know, because some of that stuff gets a little too dark, you know, some of those mysteries and stuff. She didn't know what it was about. But the moment I knew she would love it was that scene where they're at that party, and it's not a party. I don't know why I just said that. They're at a wake, and the guy who just lost his wife confesses that he had an affair with Gene Smart, and then it just cuts to Kate Winslet and Gene Smart in the car, and Kate Winslet could not stop laughing.
It's so great.
And I was just like, oh, sweetie, you've got to watch this show. You're going to love it.
I could be wrong. I think there's a cut to Gene Smart's reaction in the house first, too, because
I
remember thinking how incredible she is, just that I completely believed that that would be that character's reaction to being in a crowded room where somebody just was like, I know my wife just died, but I have to say I had an affair with this person because I just can't keep it in.
and that show is so like sad at times. And it's just this great moment of like levity to throw in the middle of it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, Mare Vistown's great.
Oh, it's so good.
Hacks on HBO Max, Danae says on Twitch, and Werewolves Within coming to a theater near you very, very soon. That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or a rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can do that. You can mail it to P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri 65738. Also hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, an angry field mouse, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy Swim-A-Lap Day!
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Oh my God.
I thought you'd be like in, I'm upset you're not like in Bermuda shorts since it's your vacation.
No. Be thankful that I'm clothed. Vacation is time for nudity.
Bermuda shorts are shorts,
right? I thought
you
were going to say that they're like, they don't count as clothing. You're basically nude.
No, Bermuda, like, I just said that, but like vacation shorts, you know, like beach stuff, like
she was saying,
palm trees
she
on your
shorts. She
was saying
vacation time is nude time for her, so be glad she has clothes on at all.
Oh,
so.
I'm with you now. Mm-hmm. So you guys go to nude beaches on vacation?
Yes.
So how many dots are you getting just at normal volume?
If I'm at normal volume, I'm at 2 dots.
Okay. That should be pretty good. You can go up a little bit from that if you want, but
this is me at 2 dots. This is me at 2 dots, and then sometimes it goes to 3. it got to 5 for a second. Oh my God, pickles! No, that's 3 and a 4.
There you go. Good.
Okay.
So there's a tab called Final Links Not Yet Posted.
Yes.
Okay.
And I created
I'm with
that.
You now.
I created that just.
I didn't
for
know that
you.
Was there. I didn't know that was there. Sorry.
It's been forgotten. It's okay. No, can our argument be in the outtakes this week? I mean, I feel like people need to know we don't always get along.
Can you somehow put my silent uncomfortableness in the outtakes?
Can you somehow just like a little like small little sounds like ugh.
Like I don't know what's about to happen. Like, do I need to walk away? Make sure you say horror and make sure you say bony pod.
And mirror. Don't say mirror.
We talked about whores in our boner pod.
Mirrors and whores.
Boners and my whores. What?
Boots with the fur.
With the fur.
I can, actually. If you'll send me an email, I can reply. I can do a reply. It's so good. It's so frustrating how good it is because it will not translate to the podcast at all. Like in any way.
No.
There's no way to use it in outtakes. Like the only way would be like me speaking over it like Danae is now zooming quickly into her mouth. Like, you know, like how do you even do that?
You probably don't want to say it that way.
Shit. Oh,
we
man.
Now zoom into Danae's gaping mouth.
We now take you live to Danae's tonsils.
10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Oh no.
What the fuck was that?
I can't do it.
Did you unmute yourself?
Yeah, I just unmuted.
Oh, I thought you had added that into the recording.
I know.
Yes, every week.
Like, Aaron's like, I don't have time to do anything this week, but I do have time to like add some creepy voiceover.
I was like going to go with like the 10, 9, 8, and I realized how off of actual seconds I was.
Oh,
and
sure.
I was like, it was so bad. It was so terrible. Absolutely terrible. Send this all the time. I send it in Caspian. I send it in Falcon recently. The idea when somebody's like, okay, count to 5 and we'll do this thing at the same time. And it's like, you're never matching up. Ever, ever, ever. And it just bothers me so much.
Never, 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 never.
It's just like, especially in that Falcon and the Winter Soldier one where he's like, okay, on the count of 10, I'm going to tackle the pilot and you take over. It's like,
that was so dumb.
Just say, I'm going to tackle the pilot and you take over, because you're not getting there at the same time.
It was exciting.
It was amazing.
I had to change my pantaloons.
You wear pantaloons?
Metzcast says, I still can't believe Aaron Dicer, hater of everything Apple, used Siri.
That's why I said it might be Google Voice, because I thought, too, that he would not use Siri as an outtake.
I mean, it was a malfunction, so I'm not going to use Google. Yeah. I have to use Apple.
Wow. Hello, the daughters. Hello, the children's. Hello! Sorry. Swim-a-lap. What's a swim-a-lap? Is that a D&D monster?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The swim-a-lap. Have you ever faced the swim-a-lap?
No, it sounds terrifying.
Very scary.
I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
It sounds scary.
Wow.